This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of DIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a multiple glitch full cast, the rarest full cast of them all.
Rarest?
Rare is a relative term. I guess the rarest is a glitch-free full cast.
Right.
But, like, why dream of something that can't happen?
Oh, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, now everybody but Spencer can hear us.
Yes. Yes.
So, are we up? It says a triple glitch? Triple glitcher?
This is our first triple glitch night. I can't believe it took the full cast haint this long to disassemble our fine audio equipment.
What, first in a while?
Spencer, is yours plugged in? I think that would help. Is your headset plugged in? Because here's the end of it. I think that's probably why you can't hear. Yeah, Spencer's headset
cord is
just not plugged into his headset.
And I'm counting that as four.
He's just yelling into an empty pair of headphones that he can't hear.
It's a metaphor. Hey,
We're counting that as.
My favorite.
There's a cold.
That's glitch number four.
The Shutdown Full Cast.
The cat got so mad. You see, just getting madder and madder.
Mm-hmm. That's too bad because
your voice went on.
Spencer, is that your longest welcome yet?
Yeah, that was my longest welcome. You know why?
Absolutely enraged the sleeping cat.
You feel like you're building up really strong cardio? Is that what's happening here?
That's what's passing for cardio in quarantine, buddy. That's what we're talking about. That's also the extra long one for all of the massive content, all of the quality content that this, the internet's only college football podcast, will provide you with tonight. Because
speaking of quarantines, let's talk about Nebraska football.
Yeah, deciding Nebraska not going to a bowl. They've decided to opt out.
But
they brought football back.
Yeah,
and now, like the Buddhist master meeting the Buddha and killing the Buddha, they've decided that they're going to go ahead and take that which they have brought back and end it.
Oh, like when they tried to bring back the black shirts and they got waxed.
I think Nebraska's made their point.
They definitely have.
They have made their point.
That is so true, Jason Kirk.
They haven't made many points,
but they did make
their point.
Which I am not.
Their single point.
They definitely made a point. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to trigger any Nebraska fans mad about their team's offense. And on Scott Frost Day, too. I apologize.
Ohio Wesleyan, do you know what their name is in sports? Their nickname?
The Dread Pirates Robins.
The Wesleyans.
The Battling Bishops.
I would not have gotten that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so it's like a literal dick swinging contest?
I think that's correct, yes.
Cool.
Or like chess, where you've lost most of the pieces.
And I believe they are the only bishops. So, like, they're just leaving no doubt there. You know, they're not, like, separating themselves from other bishops. They just straight up. Yeah, so, according to legend, Santa Claus was the original battling bishop.
Whoa.
The story of Santa at the Council of Nicaea in 325. There's a story of Santa just walking up to a heretic and slapping him in the head.
Damn, what did
the
Santa?
Five fingers say to the face? Merry yeah. Christmas,
you
bitch!
If you want to find this story, Google the words, I think it's Slappy Christmas. You can find it.
Oh, we need to bring that back in this house.
Slappy Christmas.
Slappy Holiday. Google Slappy Holiday, and you can learn all about it.
Stand under the mistletoe, and then I'm going to smack you across the face.
More like fistletoe.
Ooh, yeah. It's a little gross,
wow.
But
upsetting.
Mm, damn.
Anyway, Merry Christmas.
Spencer, you were saying.
Was I? I was saying.
Speaking of people who know if we've been bad or good.
I was saying that I didn't really think that South Carolina should be involved at any point outside of Clemson and Coastal Carolina.
Wait, stop. Holly just revealed that Santa Claus is a playoff committee. That's his job. He decides who's bad and good.
Oh my God.
His whole thing is like, don't worry, I've watched all the games all the time. He's a one-man playoff committee.
But the playoff committee, their job is to know who's good. They don't know shit about who's bad.
But they have to know who's bad. They have to know who's bad.
Playoff committee has not ranked Kansas, FIU. They have not ranked UMass. They haven't said shit all year about Bowling Green. Playoff committee doesn't know a damn thing about who's bad.
But they have to know who's bad because that's how they can discount Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina. Their wins. Those are wins over bad teams. That
but
shit
their,
don't count.
I think it's more that their wins are just not good.
That's bad!
No, they only acknowledge the binary good or doesn't exist.
Does the rise of the prosperity gospel mean that even at a religious school, it's impossible to be good for goodness sake?
Wow.
Goddamn.
What's up, Clemson?
Yeah, this is actually, if the playoff works like Santa works, then here's what's happening.
If you're wondering if that was a new spring joke, yes. Yes, it was.
So, Holly and Jason, you've both been really good all year, right? Uh-huh. And Ryan's been pretty good, but Ryan hasn't been as good as you.
You better watch out. You better not cry. It's fine if you lose to Clemson by 24. You'll get in the playoff anyway.
Correct.
That doesn't even scam.
That's you the better. Point. The playoff committee doesn't care about scanning either.
Neither did Ian Book because he didn't really have a whole lot of time back there.
Yeah. Didn't really get to do a lot of reading. Yeah. You better watch out. You better play games in a Power 5 conference or nothing really counts.
God,
so,
I suck at this.
So
we suck at all of it, Holly. It's a triple glitch full cast. Nothing's going to work.
So Holly and Jason have been really good all year, and Ryan's been pretty good, but they've been a lot better.
Again, what the fuck?
Where are you getting this information?
So at the... Oh, this is fiction.
Okay, thank you.
So at the end, I'm sitting here, and my gift is going to the people who have been the best, which are obviously, by data, by number, Jason and Holly. And that's why I'm going to give it to Ryan.
Thank you.
You better watch out.
And we're going to do this.
You better watch out. You better watch out. You better watch out.
I mean, that kind of scans.
You better watch out. You better not cry. It's time to talk about the Buckeyes.
I have a Christmas themed version of our Take the Old Records Off the Shelf story that was given to me by my mother. Apparently, as a child, I would do, Spencer, can you start singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? And I'll explain what I used to do as a kid.
Just Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Reindeer.
Had a very shiny nose.
Reindeer.
And if you ever saw him.
Reindeer.
You would even say it glows.
Reindeer.
All of the other reindeer.
Reindeer.
You'll laugh and call him names.
Reindeer. Yeah.
It's better anyway, that way. It's better that way.
Thank you. I feel like it really gets the point of the song across. But it's almost like. It's almost like me and Seeger and those old records on the shelf were meant to find each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know how I was not murdered in my cradle.
So you can do, that's pretty much, by the way, I think relevant to what we're talking about, because whatever you sing, I just sing Notre Dame back at you, right?
Ooh.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Notre Irish. Dame! Lose by 24 to Clemson. Irish! Yeah, that's, you were getting that. You were getting that, no matter what. This was like when Dad decided you needed a tie for Christmas. Hey, Dad, what I'd actually like is, like, you know, I'd like a Super NES. That'd be pretty good. You're getting a tie!
No, they didn't tie.
Dads
they were,
don't,
they
dads
were several
don't
points
ties.
Short of tying.
Dads get ties. Yeah, that's a great point by Jason there.
Yeah,
hard
that's
to
true.
Dispute.
They were many, many
hard
points shy. But maybe you demonstrated that you couldn't hang on the field yet again with the top four or five best teams in college football. And also, I want an NES. And football dad says, no, you're getting a tie.
Did Notre Dame not get you a Nintendo for Christmas? And that's what this is all about?
Notre Dame got me Notre Dame for Christmas. And you know what I didn't want to see more of? Notre Dame losing by 24.
Why don't you want to see that?
Actually,
yeah,
damn
I thought
it, Jason,
it was great.
Jason, you're right. Man, I'm still going to watch it. Still going to watch it. Who actually, by the way, wanted a rematch of Notre Dame, Alabama? The answer, it was me. I want to see it again.
Well, the only other option was watch Clemson, Notre Dame again.
Reindeer.
Or I guess maybe jump Ohio State. Yeah, that would have been funniest, actually. They should have jumped Ohio State to number one. They should have said Ohio State won its conference title by more than Bama did, so Bama slides to two, Clemson three, Notre Dame four.
Reindeer.
This is the, I believe, the opening line for this game.
Reindeer.
And Jason, you being the most informed among line watchers, the opening line for Notre Dame, Alabama is 17.5, I believe.
It has since gone upward.
What's it sitting at now?
Last I looked, it was 20.
20 points!
I think the line you're looking for
update.
Here, Spencer,
it's not even...
Oh, that just drove the cat from the room completely.
Oh, 19.5. Notre Dame
19.
Coming back.
Clawed back. Got
Irish
some
money coming
Irish.
In. The ghost of Regis Philbin is back in his boys.
That's ever the ghost of Regis from the dead.
That's what ghosts are.
Yeah. 19.5, the largest line in playoff history. That is a relatively short history, but still.
Yeah, somebody had to be number four. It was going to be about that no matter who the number four was. So I think it's good that it's Notre Dame for, you know, a few reasons. We'd like to see Cincy in the playoff, sure. But do we want to see Cincy lose by 20-something points? Not really.
Oh, we also forgot to mention Notre Dame and Bama get to square off where?
Is it the Dallas Rose Bowl?
The Rose Bowl in Arlington, Texas.
Yeah. As the sun sets behind the Walmart across the street.
what an amazing, like, I will give college football this. It decided that Selection Sunday, if it was going to be stupid at the top and frustrating at the top, it was going to go all the way. Like, the hits did not stop coming.
No, they built this whole plane out of stupid.
Like, I was texting with a buddy who was like, Oh wow, you see Indiana's playing Ole Miss in the Outback Bowl. A real thing that is happening. And then I said, that's hilarious. And then I said, no, wait, Mississippi State playing in a bowl game is the most hilarious thing I've seen today. And then a half hour later, I said, no, wait, South Carolina playing in a bowl game is the stupidest, most hilarious thing I've seen all day.
South Carolina. South Carolina fired their coach and the two teams. South Carolina fired their coaches. They're in a bowl. Army, 9 win. Not in a bowl. There are two bowls named after the Army. Everything is going really well.
That contamination pattern for South Carolina is damn impressive. That if you touched South Carolina this year, it instantly killed you. You just got grayscale.
And like now they got to play UAB, the team that's already like died once.
Are you saying they got grayscale and now they got to play a dragon?
Yes, that's right.
Maybe this worked out. We considered that because that might have worked. That's also, by the way, like putting Ohio State in. I understand that they really had a very difficult matchup in a slow, obstinate, and plotting Northwestern team that was determined to make everything as difficult as possible and did. It really makes it even funnier that they couldn't even do that and shoehorn Ohio State in and have Ohio State go along with it. Nothing cooperated this weekend. Nothing cooperated whatsoever. Should have had USC finish off as the Pac-12 champions. They're obviously the best team. They obviously had the best record. They should have come into that game, and they should have played Washington, but Washington had COVID issues. So the Pac-12, being the super sensible team that it is, said, oh, we'll just put the second team in there. Just put Oregon in there, because there's no way USC will lose to Oregon. USC lost to Oregon. And Oregon, the second-place team in the Pac-12 North, is the champion of the conference. It's incredible.
But who's ranked higher in the playoff top 25?
You go off.
USC, number 17. Oregon, Oregon just barely cracking the bottom at 25. Holy shit. You look up and down this top 25, and it looks like a poorly loaded bus, where you're like, oh, that shit's going to tip. They're going to take one hard turn, and that fucker is tumbling down a mountain. You've got 10-1 BYU right next to 5-1 USC. Fucking, oh, Jesus.
And like,
what a stupid year.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many discoveries throughout the rankings.
San Jose State goes 7-0, beats Boise State pretty convincingly in the Mountain West Championship game. What do you get for that? Sandwiched between 7-3 Oklahoma State and 8-3 NC State. Thanks for playing, guys. Have a great day.
USC's best win is
Arizona State.
3-2 Utah.
Oh.
3-2 Utah.
Can we talk about the Utah? This is the only game I actually want to talk about.
Okay.
So, hop in, brother.
Utah beat Washington State to close the season. They trailed in this game 28-7 at the half. But then Washington State did some amazing shit. They started out the second half with three straight three and outs. Utah scored a touchdown after each one of them and immediately tied the game. It did not get better for Washington State, because after another punt, they then turned the ball over on their last four possessions. They got outscored in the second half 38-0, and they lost by 17. A game that they were winning by 21 at halftime, they got fucking blown out. It was amazing to watch. It was, in my mind, the true Pac-12 championship. Washington State is the Pac-12 champion for giving me the most 2020 football game possible. That was it. Thank you.
Fair enough.
See, I thought you were going to say Ole Miss LSU, which...
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah.
That's also the Pac-12 championship.
That's you know what? Yeah, okay. LSU can be Pac-12 champion as well.
Because that game with Ole Miss, I believe, trailing massively at one point, the rain kicked in, and Ole Miss decided to begin running the ball with the threat everyone really knew that they should have started with, the obvious running threat. That'd be quarterback Matt Corral. Here's my favorite stat from this game. At one point, Matt Corral was the leading rusher for Ole Miss, and he finished as the leading rusher for Ole Miss, running for 158 yards on 17 carries. Matt Corral also, at this point, when they really decided to start running him, had five interceptions. Five. I think this was early third quarter, meaning the hypothetical 10 interception game was on the table. If they just kept winging it, it was totally there. Yeah. At one point, they were down 34-21. Ole Miss clawed back. The rain kicked in. Everything got super sloppy and stupid. Just an incredible mess of a game. Kayshawn Boutte, goodness, he had 300 yards receiving, which is unreal. I know you're playing Ole Miss's defense, and they're mega bad. By the way, that's DJ Durkin.
But he has so many other redeeming qualities.
DJ Durkin! Spinning on the ones and twos. And also having the worst defense in the conference. And that says something, because I watch a lot of Florida defense. Ole Miss is much worse. Much, much worse. But at least there's all those like personal vouchers that you can pick up for DJ Durkin. Like his skill in management and his concern for player safety.
Yeah, DJ Durkin and Bo Pelini, definitely guys worth overlooking personal failings to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And paying a lot of money to as well.
Yeah, a lot of money.
I think that's my, you know, guys, fortunately, there's nothing else that we can hold up this year and say, there wasn't even a shitty reason to do this.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm glad that these are isolated personnel matters.
By the way, I was mad at Florida for letting Max Johnson have, you know, 240 yards passing or whatever, and, you know, a TD. I don't know what I'd be as an Ole Miss fan, because they let him throw for 435 yards and 3 scores as a freshman.
Counterpoint, nothing matters this year.
Nothing. Perfect game. Alex McDaniel had my favorite line on this, which is about halfway through the game when all the other games started to become lopsided and complete blowouts. I believe it was Alex McDaniel on Twitter who said, what do we tell everyone switching over to this game what they're watching? Do we tell them?
That's a great question.
What do we say? I just like that everyone wandering over to this game.
You know when Two-Face is in the hospital bed in the dark night and Heath Ledger kind of sidles up to him in that nurse's uniform? And Two-Face rolls us over in the bed, and Heath Ledger's like, hi. That exact tone.
Just like somebody finding you at the lowest point of how you actually live and don't want other people to see. And just going, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone.
Are you looking at the number of tabs I have open in this public shopping cart?
No, okay. No. Because I'm not going to look at you and judge.
I'm still stuck on Helen Rosner's idea of serving a bowl of flaming hot Cheetos at a party and applying edible gold leaf to like 3 Cheetos in the bowl and just never commenting on it.
You got the golden Cheeto.
Now there's nobody here, so I can always get the golden Cheeto. That... I'm not dying of loneliness. You're dying of loneliness. Here's sports.
Speaking of never being alone... Ole Miss LSU. No. I wanted to update everybody before we really put a fork in the playoff rankings. Goodness, they put NC State ahead of Oregon?
See.
Sure, yeah, why not?
Caught up.
Why not?
What?
Oregon didn't even win the fucking division.
NC State won. NC State played like 100 games. NC State worked hard for that number 22, 23 ranking.
NC State played an NBA schedule. It played 72 games. they did things like, oh yeah, listen, we need an off day because we're going back to back.
You joke, but Brett McMurphy on Twitter today was like, yeah, I think it was BYU and Liberty had conversations about playing in multiple bowl games. Like, that's a thing that oh my
wait,
God.
I misread that. I thought they meant that they were talking to several different bowls about joining that bowl.
No, I think what was suggested there, because both are playing in a bowl game. BYU is playing in the Boca Raton bowl against UCF. Liberty is playing undefeated Coastal Carolina in the Cure Bowl, and I think what he's saying is that Liberty and BYU had gone to other bowls, or other bowls had reached out to them and were like, hey, how would you feel about a second bowl game?
Wait, since when does Liberty believe in healthcare?
Nobody said they did.
I'm wondering if they know where the Cure Bowl money goes.
Oh, yeah.
What is Georgia doing up there? Oh, God, I can't look at any of this.
If there's any school that is pro-breast cancer, it's Liberty.
The Raging Cajuns are still 9 spots behind Iowa State.
But this is what I'm saying.
Spencer,
this...
why doesn't that make sense? That would mean you're saying this like those teams played.
Counterpoint, they did.
What?
Spencer.
No.
Yeah.
We canceled all non-conference games this year.
That's right.
So there's no way we can compare two teams from different conferences.
Iowa State is in a power conference.
What? Is it worse that they watched all the games? They shouldn't say that. They should not say that.
This is it. This is the solution. All you Jeff Long, Kirby Hocutt, Gary Barta types, they trot out every year to blurt at Reese Davis. Yeah, y'all need to start saying, well, the committee watched none of the games this year.
Someone told us what they look like.
Yeah.
You know, we asked some people.
Instead of eye test, we went by like rumor test.
You know what? these folks are going to have to answer one day to the ultimate eye test.
My favorite part about this.
I just interrupted my sermon. All right, go ahead.
My favorite part about this is how this year, for whatever reason, ESPN has decided to play the role of shame on the playoff committee. How dare the playoff committee? Which is kind of like finding out your son has been like spin kicking kids at school and being like, oh, how could he? You are the one who put him in karate class repeatedly. You did that. Shut up.
Yeah, this is by the way, of course, I mean, that's ESPN going, you know, it'd be real cool. An 8-team playoff.
No. Bill Hancock said that would never happen, and everyone keeps saying he's a very nice man.
Somebody should just ask the next time that man gets anything, be like, how much do you love rubber chicken? Your whole life is about getting a rubber chicken, getting invited to a banquet. So somebody could be like, you're real nice. Read these three things. Take a bullet for us. Say some nice stuff. Do the thing that PR people do and get that plate of rubber chicken.
Will
that you
there
love.
Be creme brulee afterwards?
George Schroeder said this to me like 10 years ago, and I've carried it in my heart ever since. I am absolutely convinced that Bill Hanstock's dog is, or Bill Hanstock. Sorry, Bill Hanstock. apologies to Bill Hanstock, who does not listen to this program. That Bill Hancock's dog is named Dog.
Oh, 100%.
Meet my son, boy.
Yeah.
you're doing his voice like the middle son in Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
The one who's like, it smells so good, mother.
Terrorist, doesn't it?
That was a terrifying Miss Piggy.
Thank you. Miss Piggy and I have a lot in common.
You know what? Sports.
So, an old tweet from Christy Dosh. Bill Hancock does indeed have a dog named Dog. There's a dog on his desk with the tag Dog.
Wait, what? Yep.
We don't make anything up.
Oh, my God.
We've never told a joke.
Just looking at my hands.
Is Bill Hancock biblical Adam? Like, it's Adam was asked to name all the animals, right?
I was just going to suggest anyone near Bill Hancock and the sound of our voices, poke him to see if he's missing a rib. Jason, which side is it on?
It doesn't say.
Okay. See if sides. He's got a squishy side.
Squeeze him.
He'll say, poke oh, all... my!
Listen, if he cared about social ribs. Distancing, he wouldn't be in a hotel ballroom in Dallas. It's fine. Just do it.
I would not, by the way, put it past any of them to just... to insist that they'd actually... How many games? I think they watched like 3 games.
No, I think they watched all of them, and it's just like, you can just say, they know they can say whatever they want.
Yep.
Like,
why try? Just like, seriously, they should just send out, who'd be their worst spokesman? Their worst spokesman's Gary Barr.
Their worst spokesman is
the one they have. Like, I think they picked the one. You think they're just going around and Barry's like, hold on, watch this.
A Teddy Ruxpin, and you pull the string out of him in the back.
They pick the one. They're like, "Hey, go get the guy who gives us drinks." So they go and get like the 22-year-old intern who doesn't know any better, and they put him in a chair.
Call him Chad.
Okay, so Chad gets to sit in a chair, and they're like, "Hey, we're gonna start talking." And Barry starts talking, and he's like, "This dude makes sense." And someone else starts talking, and they're like, "Yeah, this guy makes sense." Art Slocum talks, and he's like, "Whoa, hey, Tex," and then Gary Barta starts talking, and instinctively the 22-year-old is just like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I cannot stand the way... God,
or does Gary Barta's continued presence in the playoff committee mean that this kid just starts bleeding from the eyeballs?
Yeah.
And in the corner, Kobe Hocutt's like, hey, guys, it happened again.
That's
Can we
guy.
Get a replacement body?
Hey, yeah.
We're going to need a new Chad on 7.
Yeah. They pick
new
whichever
Chad to
one.
7, please.
Get something in a Kevin this time.
They pick whichever one inspires the most kind of like blind rage. And they go, that's it. That's the one. Barry did it again.
Barry Garda.
Yeah. Just Barry Alvarez putting up the most annoying guy. Being like, no, you're the one. You can do this. Gary Bart is like, it's because of my speaking skills, right?
He's like, if Andrew Luck had the right allergy meds, is the closest thing I can come to.
Yeah.
I think they put, yeah, I think it's just the biggest dork because, man, Jeff Long doing that shit for 3 years, that set the tone. And that's, the tone has been maintained ever since he left.
You know what this is, though? This is jock on nerd violence. Because it's all these coaches who used to be football players going like, hey, man, let's put the nerd out there. Let the nerd take the hit.
Well, not just let's put the nerd out there. Let's make the nerd explain our jock decisions.
They need, yeah, which he can't do at all.
No.
So Seth Galina has pointed this out, and I've noticed it every single time since. They always praise Iowa State's running game. Like, the committee is astounded by how good Iowa State is.
They all copied each other's notes.
Well, like, each week when they do, they've done it for a month or two, but basically the entire time they've been meeting this year, each week they praise Iowa State's incredible running game. Iowa State ranks 16th in rushing success rate. Like, it is nothing special at all. But for some reason, it has just won the committee's eye.
I just realized something. This is like they're doing what we do with Bill Connolly, only they have to do it on television, and we just have to go on regional radio. They're all copying off somebody, except they don't have anybody smart to copy off, right?
No.
Because they sound like all of us memorizing Bill's preview and then going on like Louisville radio to be like, oh, yeah, Bowling Green.
So I think they actually, here's my conspiracy theory. I think the playoff committee said, ugh, we're not putting Cincinnati in. We're just not doing it. We're definitely not putting Coastal Carolina in. We know they're undefeated. We know that they've played more games than some of the playoff teams. We know that some of the playoff teams don't necessarily have significantly better strength of schedule or haven't like necessarily done better, like done eons better on the analytics. But we're just not doing it. So what we need to do to give ourselves cover is fill the rest of the top 25 with bullshit as well. Like, it is amazing that Iowa State played for its first conference title in like 100 years. And through playoff committee fuckery, everybody's pointing at Iowa State and being like, how dare you? How dare you high on the hog fuckers take from the less fortunate once again? How dare the elite Iowa State Cyclones fuck with Coastal Carolina? And it's just like, it's such a masterful job because you look up all up and down. It's like, yeah, it's all made to get you mad. It's all made to not make sense. It's a beautiful job of smuggling in the base fuckery by surrounding it with more fuckery.
Okay.
So, the hog fuckers. Y'all see Brett got a job?
Hey! Congratulations, Illinois. You're gonna be writing some checks for more boats.
Live That's from it. Brett Bielema's car. It's
we're not making that up. That's what the header on the announcement said. Because he was FaceTiming from his car and some brilliant person at ESPN. I'm not being sarcastic. So he was like, dude, I got the chance to put the header live from Brett Bielema's car on here, and I'm going to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You got to take that joy where you can get it.
Yeah. And they did it. So it was like his big old country ham of a face, right? Just like, hi, I'm Brett Bielema.
It's such a dad move. It's such a dad move that when they reached out to him, I'm sure they were like, hey, can you like stop somewhere along the way? Because they did that earlier this year with somebody. I forget who. But he was like, no, man, I'm making good time. Absolutely no way I'm stopping this car. You kidding me? The mileage I'm getting right now is amazing.
I got to get to Champaign-Urbana.
If I get to a rest stop, I'll stop you there. And that's what I'm going to chow down on, that surfboard chicken sandwich for Burger King. I love those. Extra mayo.
I just had a
whole bunch of meatball subs, and I gotta really sit on the john. So it's we're not gonna be pulling over to stop because I gotta keep going. If you know
Jason,
what I mean, until
Jason,
we get there rapidly.
That's the super quality because you said John, which is totally what Brett Bielema calls it.
You call it something like the fucking like the crapper, right?
The crapper.
No, the head implies military service.
Look at his haircut. He's definitely lied about being in the military before.
He was an Iowa Hawkeye. He was a troop. We count the Hawkeye as a troop.
A troop.
But yeah, they did, like, that's it. Brett Bielema, by the way,
Folks, that's Ryan Nanny claiming that Brett Bielema has lied about his military record.
Listen, he pulled...
Reach him at 38 Godfrey on Twitter.
He pulled a rookie mistake, though, because if he's in transit and he was in the car, that lets us know that he was going somewhere. So if he doesn't show up to Champaign Urbana by, like, Tuesday, we'll know that, like, I found a casino along the way.
No, dude, he had to make a round of all the wing stops to say goodbye.
And I'll take
Tony, Tony, Ronnie, Telly, Dutch,
other
Molly,
Tony,
Steve, other Tony.
To be my sunshine after these wings.
Family doesn't come along very often, but.
Just doing the Boys to Men monologue to the wing. Hello, chicken wing. From Wingstop number 7.
Just imagine Brett Bielema doing like a car TikTok and holding up a chicken wing up to his face to do the deep voice part of the Boys to Men monologue.
Parents don't have a favorite child, and Brett doesn't have a favorite Wingstop. But secretly, Wingstop number 1733, it's always been you.
I think all of your wings are top. I said I wouldn't get emotional.
No, now we've come.
To the end of the bone.
It's unnatural.
It's all natural. All natural meat here at Wingstop.
All natural.
It's definitely meat.
Oh,
man, that's our drive-thru chain. It's definitely meat.
It's definitely, definitely meat. Brett Bielema, ground floor investor. I tell you, that's all you have to do. It's definitely meat. He'd be like, how much can I give you?
Right there on the marquee, it says, why wouldn't it be meat?
Yeah.
Stop asking questions.
Totally
welcome to,
exonerated.
Welcome to It's Definitely Meat. Are you a cop?
I'm overjoyed.
Go out to the trunk, throw open my car doors. I just got it full of like 30 robots that tell jokes while vacuuming your floor.
I would totally.
This is all happening, y'all.
I would totally, by the way, just go like eat wings and drink beer with Brett Bielema just to watch him do that, because I bet it's majestic.
I've been thinking a lot about killing myself.
Don't, because one day you might get to see Brett Bielema house an entire plate of wings while talking.
I guarantee you, Brett Bielema is the like, hey, dibs on the celery, because I'm making good choices in 2020.
I'm being healthy.
Yep,
it's gonna push it all through. God.
It's like a toilet snake for your body.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
That's
whoa!
That's Big Ten thinking, baby.
Why is this happening?
Oh, speaking.
I hate you.
Speaking.
It's not worse than South Carolina playing in a fucking bowl game. It's just not. It's not. You're saying me saying that is worse than Americans and their children having to watch more South Carolina football?
I
disagree.
I want to ask one question. How many games would Coastal Carolina have had to have won in a single season to have made the playoff? I haven't.
47.
47. Jason?
How many of those games are against ACC opponents?
Oh, I mean, the ACC played like 30 games, so like 20? 25?
They're getting 25 games against ACC opponents?
Yeah.
That's just a smidgen of the ACC.
They only need like 9 ACC opponents.
Wait. 5 of those are against Syracuse, though.
That's fine. That's a power conference win.
Okay.
Holly, how many games?
What?
How many games would Coastal Carolina have needed to play to make the playoff this year?
She's thinking about the toilet snake thing still.
Wow!
47. The answer is 47.
47? I had 33. It just felt
right.
I
mean, it's either they get 8 plus power conference games, or the number doesn't. 9,000 non-power games. Who gives a shit? They're not going to make it.
This is all showing that the NCAA football game for various video game platforms is completely full of it, because you would go 30-0 and they would say, oh, maybe it's time you move up, big boy. Nope. College football, you go like, you can win 30 games in a row. You can win 40 games in a row. They're like, you stay right there in the Sun Belt where you belong.
This is
the
shit
American
they have to...
elites not like Coastal.
When they have to bring this game back, this is the shit they got to put in it. Like, they got to say, like, cool, You went 12-0 with BYU. You're number 9 in the country. Have a great fucking day.
My favorite thing is like, and you can go back and track this. You look at the computers, you look at a general composite of the computers, and you compare it to the playoff rankings. There is a 5-10 spot tax applied to every non-power team every single time.
They should have been power teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right there in the name.
Yeah. BYU, like, it's crazy to me. We're acting like BYU has like 3 or 4 losses or something. BYU should still be in the top 10. They're 10-1. They're clearly really good.
Sorry, we need three loss Florida there.
But Jason, but Jason, Alabama had to beat all those teams like Auburn.
Auburn, yep.
And Mississippi State. They played Tennessee. Hey, they played Florida, I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the... What I'm trying to get at is, in this year of all fucking years, can you really make an argument for strength of schedule within conference play?
No, nope. Yeah. I mean, with nobody playing out of conference games, how the fuck do we know if Florida's any good?
Also,
they beat a bunch of teams that played Florida.
To our point earlier, when there were out of conference games, it still didn't fucking matter. They still fucked Louisiana over.
No, it mattered.
The only thing non-conference taught us this entire year is that the Sun Belt Conference is better than the Big 12 Conference. Yet,
yeah.
Multiple Big 12 teams rank ahead of the undefeated Sun Belt champion.
National governing body fucked over coastal Louisiana.
I also like that this is now set up a bowl season where you have good, like legitimately good group of five teams that are going to go play these dog shit power five teams. And it's this inverse where normally you have like disappointed power five team and it's like, well, they're not going to show up. But if you're Tulsa, you're number 24, you almost beat
season. This is absolutely the only thing I'm living for at this point.
You're Tulsa. You almost beat Cincinnati to win the conference. Very close game. Very tough game. Your reward for this is to go to TCU's stadium and play Mississippi State, who's 3-7.
Tulsa players opt out.
Why would you care about this?
Yeah, Tulsa players, please say we had fun playing quality opponents.
Yeah, we think we've said all we need to say.
Yeah. Case is made.
I mean, Tulsa had a hell of a year. Tulsa had like 3 or 4 comeback wins, like made Cincinnati sweat their ass off,
almost beat
Oklahoma State. Every single Tulsa game this year was awesome. I don't think they need the drama of...
Yeah, Tulsa, it's time for you to be gracious and let another team that's maybe a little less fortunate have a turn playing with Mississippi State.
Just such
It looks
garbage.
Like fun playing such, Mississippi State.
Such stupid garbage. Oh,
this was unquestionably the dumbest season in college football history, and that is saying it's belittling it to say it's saying a lot. Like it's something completely unimaginable to be the dumbest season in college football history, and yet it was this by a mile. Like, and this is how it comes to a finish.
Yes.
Like, well, what a cherry on top. I don't even know where to, you know, we joked before the show about making a list of the top 25 dumbest things from this weekend. And I don't even think that would be enough.
I don't really know what to tell you. Like, Sunbelt could have put a headshot on Ohio State, right? Could have sniped Ohio State in an out of conference game, 22-21. Could have done everything. And people would have gone, well, Ohio State really got it together, so let's just put him in.
That's the other thing. It's like, all right, the top 4 teams, right? You know, the top 4 or 5 or 6 teams that we know will be really talented every year. The teams that win recruiting, look at the top 6 of signing day right now. It is those teams. Those teams during each season have to make the argument that they should not be in the playoff. Whereas every other team has to hope that happens, and they are also able to make the counter argument, right? Like, Bama starts with a birthright in the playoff. Bama usually deserves it. That's fine. Ohio State does the same. This year, does Ohio State deserve it? No, but they weren't able to make a convincing argument to the contrary. Like, when you have this mix of best team and most deserving team, well, we know who the best teams are. Do we give a shit who the best teams are? No. Because Cincinnati deserves to be there. Like, we know Ohio State would beat Cincinnati. Who gives a fuck?
It's like figure skating or, like, slalom skiing or wherever, where you're like, we do point deductions, to be clear. Like, that's how this works. You tell us what you're going to do, and then we take off points when you fuck up. But Ohio State just skated for 47 seconds and was like, here's your gold medal.
And
great
if
job.
We're going to start having a presentation element, we are going to have to talk about these uniforms. Mm-hmm. Not a spangle in sight, you pieces of shit.
I'd love to see Bama.
Talking to you, Under Armour.
That's the reason why Coastal Carolina should be in the playoffs on uniforms alone, because that is some, I'm going to go win the silver for the Ukraine. That's what that is right there.
They're doing the Pemchenko.
They do have beautiful, like, early Russian Federation era sports uniforms.
And
they
the
really
breathless
do.
Courtside, ringside words of Kate Mosley, you want to win, don't you?
That's, and you know what? You know who needs to pick it up, frankly, if we're grading on presentation? Alabama. I'm sorry. You just got red, white, and some numbers. Well, it's simple and classic. Really, you want to come in the presentation element and go simple and classic.
Those are figure skates, pal.
Please, not a single rhinestone on that uniform. God, a rhinestone uniform would be incredible. Which school would do it first?
I think all the coaches Miami. That would have done it are dead.
Miami?
Miami would do it. Yes. You're telling me that you can put something approximating a diamond on a uniform and Miami wouldn't do it.
I feel like they would be mocked in their hometown for fake jewelry, right?
Well, oh, yeah. They like, would this say is it's how you stones, but then it would be real.
Well, this is how you lose Rick Ross as an honorary alumni.
Sure. And you would hate to see that.
No,
yeah,
I think
that dries up the whole institution.
For some reason, I just felt Arkansas State. I don't know that's because they're like...
No, because, like, Rhinestone Realtree is a big thing.
North Texas?
They're out there. They do have a performing arts program, so.
Best ever Rhinestone Cowboy football team out of Denton. That didn't scan either, and
man,
I apologize.
Man, that's what they'd be called, too. These are the Rhinestone Cowboy uniforms. And I'd mark out for them.
Best ever Rhinestone ball team out of Denton.
Will these cause serious abrasions on impact? Absolutely.
That's a guarantee, partner.
That's how they sold the coach on them. They're like, I don't know about these. They're a little showy. And they'd be like, the other team will bleed when they come into contact with them. All right, yeah, suit them up. Let's do it. You know that you're going to play us. You're going to have abrasions. Serious abrasions. You know, I did want to update everybody on this, that the full cast does nothing but determine reality, because we told the story of Dale McLaughlin, who went from Scotland to the Isle of Man for love and paid for it by going to prison. He's in jail in the Isle of Man for visiting his girlfriend on a jet ski. I left one thing out last week, by the way, that Holly pointed out to me. Did we miss the point where Dale McLaughlin cannot swim?
We did miss that point.
I missed the part where Dale McLaughlin did not know how to swim.
I'm not surprised that you missed out on somebody not knowing how to swim, but I am disappointed in the rest of us.
Why would I? I am a great swimmer. I'm very good at it. I enjoy it.
Server, we're going to edit that out.
It's one of my favorite things. So that happened, and you think, oh, certainly nothing could top that. Certainly nothing could. And I'm not saying this necessarily tops it, but
it doesn't.
It is...
For the record, it does not.
I think elements of it are co-equal. I do, which is this, that...
I think elements of it are co-equal.
Gary Barta.
Am I Gary
ass.
Barta? You called me Gary Barta, and for that, I'm going to give you a contract extension.
You know, the committee decided this Georgia girl who violated COVID protocols to watch her boyfriend's jet ski competition was really more... Go ahead, asshole.
Skylar Mack, an 18-year-old college student from where?
Skylar Mack.
That's right, Georgia. Yep. From Georgia. was sentenced to 4 months in prison in the Cayman Islands.
Is this a he Skylar or a she Skylar?
A she Skylar.
A Skyle her.
Okay. A Skyle her.
Sorry, I needed to know what kind of crime we were dealing with here.
Thank you. A Skyle har.
Gender is a social construct, but I need to know what manner of Skylar this is.
Skylar.
Okay, the traditional spelling.
Mm-hmm. Because when I read it first, I was like, okay, whatever, Kaylee. And I really wasn't far, named Skylar. And she broke the British Caribbean Territory's COVID-19 protocol. Why? Because she had to go and visit her boyfriend, who was competing in a jet skiing competition. That's right, the jet ski and COVID-19 meeting again. The nexus of the two, yet again, sending someone to the pokey. This time, though, I am dumbfounded at how bad she needed to see her boyfriend that she was willing to risk prison in the Caribbean. I know you think prison in the Caribbean. Ah, festive! Warm! Yeah, it's warm. That's the problem. You're in an unair-conditioned hut, right? Like a box. And you get fed, like, real crappy food for 4 months. Think about that. 4 months.
I mean, this is more confusing to me because, like, Dale, I can see where he got there. I don't agree with his choices, and I would have made different ones, but I understand he had a plan. Skylar was allowed to go to the Cayman Islands. Like, that was okay. She took a COVID test when she got there, and they told her, okay, now isolate for 2 weeks. The point at which she crosses the line, so it's not going there that crosses the line, it's the point where she leaves isolation to go watch a jet ski race, which I will admit I have never gone to, but has to be one of the least appealing in-person spectator sports.
How do you even perceive that?
You don't! It's just loud and wet and wavy. That's it.
What, you weren't a big fan of Wave Race 64?
Wave Race was great. Thank you, Holly.
Ever since you guys started talking about that game, it's the only thing I can hear is that voice.
But the boyfriend is the one playing Wave Race. She is playing a different game where you stand on the beach 200 yards away from Wave Race and watch.
Ryan sounds like he has had to sit through a lot of jet ski races in his time.
I bet someone
is on Twitch right now streaming Wave Race and people are watching it.
Again, you'd have to watch it from, like, down the street for it to be the same experience.
This is, by the way, the most...
I bet that's happening somewhere on Twitch.
But...
Someone is outside looking into a house where someone is playing Wave Race 64.
Spencer, who is the primary...
We're all outside the house looking in as our friends and loved ones play Wave Race.
Spencer, who is the primary family member cited who comments in this story?
Let's see. The primary family member would be the grandmother.
That's right. And do you know why the grandmother's commenting on this story?
Why?
Because she's not thrilled that her granddaughter is dating a professional jet ski racer. That's why.
Why?
Because she's a Georgia grandma.
So is there any money in that jet ski race? She knows there isn't.
Has this girl got a Hope scholarship? I need to know.
Not anymore. This is, by the way.
Wait, don't tell me there's an... You can keep your Hope scholarship if you get arrested. There'd be nobody left.
I bet jet ski crimes are exempt. It'd be too common.
Yes,
you get a little bump, actually. You get a little
stipend.
It's
paid for by the fucking lottery. Of course you can ride a jet ski.
Thank you. Spencer.
I would point this out, by the way, that the grandmother was saying this too, because she's seen this before. She's like, I've seen jet skiing scoundrels.
Don't make the mistakes I did, Skylar.
Take down the talented women of this family.
Grandma's like, back when I was your age, I had my heart broken by a dashing jet skier.
I was gonna be a chemist, but I gave it all up for Duke Jet Ski, the original jet ski artist.
Oh man, well, are there jet ski rodeo clowns?
Yes, there were. She
that's
dated,
my, I've already she decided dated my second husband is going to be unfathomably wealthy, but my third one's going to be just for fun.
Jet ski radio clown? A rodeo clown?
Buddy, if I wanted a jet ski radio clown, I would just.
You need a step stool to get here.
Hey!
So. Yeah, the thing about this, by the way, in the
Server,
case...
just take out everything that could get me killed.
So, Dale McLaughlin did not get his lady in jail, okay? And in this, which is also, by the way, another, like, an epic entry into Bad Lame Boyfriend, instead of playing Wave Race and making your girl watch you play Wave Race, right? Like, hey, why don't you watch me play video games? Yeah, why don't you let me... do Wave Race in real life, and then you watch it from 200 yards away, and oh, by the way, I help you get the monitor that was keeping you, and this is the other thing, by the way. She just thought, oh, I'm just going to have you loosen this up because it's a little tight.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. She had a little, like, ankle monitor on. Oh, it's cutting into me a little bit. Can you guys loosen it up? Oh, 2 days later, it's off! And she's watching her boyfriend do Wave Race IRL.
Do you think the jet ski racing community is plagued by its own playoff committee?
And it's like, jet ski.
Do you think there's like a jet ski playoff committee and people are just fucking furious?
Yeah.
This is not what we stand for.
That's right. How can you explain these inconsistencies? Dylan finished third in the last two races, and yet you've got him ahead of other Dylan who finished second.
I would bet, by the way.
Dylan's all the way down.
Yeah. I think in the jet ski community, Coastal Carolina is a
They're the Power 5 team.
Yeah, yeah. All the Notre Dame
it's
jet skiers are just pissed about Coastal Carolina
seas.
Hogging all the spots.
Sure, yeah.
Notre
Dame is definitely the least jet ski of the four teams in the playoff.
Notre Dame is like they're the fucking Bowling Green of jet skiing.
Well, they're cops, so they hate jet skis.
That's true.
They're jet ski cops.
Nah, those are that's Coast Guard, bruh. It's different.
Yeah, I mean that's what they're called.
You probably if you're a Coast Guard cop, by the or if you're like a jet ski cop, that first day is exhilarating because you're like, man, I drive a jet ski for a living. Day three, you're like, oh god, get me off this thing.
Because let's be honest, if you were on a boat or a jet ski of your own. And another jet ski pulled up to you that said police on it. Would you take that seriously?
Absolutely not.
I absolutely would be like, no, you just put those fucking letters on there yourself. There's no
I
such thing
as a jet ski cop.
I would start
looking around for DJ Khaled's camera crew.
Correct, yes.
So like jet ski chase on the ocean. You're both going fucking 15 miles an hour. Are they going to throw down a spiky thing in the water? No.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Just keep going. A man just keep of going. War at your head.
Yeah. There's just
ocean
no,
ain't gonna run out of water. Keep going.
There's no incentive. Like jet ski cop has got to be the least respected of the cops.
What if you do that and you just go in circles, and they have to pursue you for hours?
Like
and you're
like
both
what,
sunburned.
Like how do you even pull over in the ocean?
I'm so parched. So dehydrated. Please stop. If you stop, I will get you a bottled water.
Okay, yeah, the cop has to entice you into pulling over to the sandbar.
Yeah. Or what if you do this? If you're the idiot.
No,
who's
no,
like,
here's what you do. You stop and then
the cop gets
the
off
the jet
ski. The cop
has to get off the jet ski and then you gun it.
Sucker.
What if you go all
and
the way
then
out?
He's
got
to wade back to
I would he's let like, him, oh, like, climbing get... back on this is the worst. It never looks cool.
I would let him get right up close to you and then jet ski like 4 feet away. And just do this repeatedly.
I'm just taking the jet ski out to international waters, like just as far as
Spencer,
I can.
You can't swim.
No, as soon as you hit
McLaughlin.
You hit international water, you cross that barrier, and the cop can't even see you.
That's right. Your stars go away.
The cop's like, where the fuck did he go?
That's certainly what I would assume. I would just sit there. The cop's like, I can see you. You know, you're like, nope, I'm invisible.
Well, that would work too.
Mystery.
Because everyone knows where the National Lion is. You can see it. It's just, right there on top of the water. So if you're on one side of it and cops are on the other, you can be like, neener, neener, neener. He can't do anything.
Do jet ski cops have to wear pants on the jet ski?
Absolutely not. No, you could Donald Duck it. You could just wear, you know, you could wear a full police uniform down to the waist and then like a Speedo.
Do you think Donald Duck wears a Speedo?
If I were a jet ski cop, I would. I'd wear a tanga. Yeah.
Sure.
So at the end of each shift,
does it say police across the butt?
Absolutely, yeah.
What stripe? What like, color?
Does it say it's having reflective letters across the butt?
What color stripe do I need to put on my American flag to honor jet ski cops?
So teal. on this conga, you have like a holster and a radio and other equipment, right? You got the whole utility belt on the conga.
For sure. Zinc.
Yeah, that's. And there's no way I'm not going to. You know what? If I'm a jet ski cop, you're giving me a harpoon gun. And somebody's going to say, what's that for? And I'm like, danger.
Justice.
It's because I've gotten off the jet ski and then fucking drive away. That's why.
I think.
No, but would that even stop us? Then you're
barefoot just water skiing.
My cousin got harpooned by a jet ski cop.
No, but what if they pierce the hull of the jet ski? Then you're just being bodily dragged through shallow water.
Jet ski cop. I hope jet ski cop carries a taser.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. Taser and they're just and a they're large like body of saline and they're like water. That's a great well, that's idea.
The entire third day of Jet Ski Police Academy is do not use your taser. Do I'm not sorry. Use it. Do not use your taser.
And but you know, Jet Ski Cop gets on and he grabs his taser and he's like, I am the stingray waiting.
Oh, they see like one recruit's hand just keeps drifting towards his holster. Like,
Jeffrey, no.
I'm going to do it. Jason, I'm going to tase the ocean. I'm going to tase the ocean.
Here's the other thing.
How many people get out of Jet Ski Academy and Jet Ski Police Academy and try and fish with a taser?
I'm going to find the white whale that took my leg, and I'm going to tase it.
Here's my question. Let's say you are a good jet ski cop, and you successfully arrest somebody. What next?
Well, you gotta get all the way back in.
Yeah, you gotta
go. How?
I got an answer. Parasail.
They have to stay.
Parajail. It's parajail.
I think they have to.
No,
they have to scooch in on your jet ski with their arms around your waist.
They handcuff themselves around your waist.
Yeah, and then you gotta carry them all the way in like a backpack.
Sure. Man, you know they're gonna pee on you.
I'm super buoyant.
I mean, yeah. That's all they can do. That's all the citizen can do to protest the tyranny of the state is pee on a jet ski cop.
I'm telling you, parajail. We have a little jail that all I do is I take you in your restraints. I put you on the parasail behind me, and then you get a beautiful view and a
this
nice
costs $70
ride.
An hour, citizen.
And we, oh, see, there we go. Carceral state, we charge you for it, right? You're like, hey, what's this parasail fee that I see here?
You got a coupon at Indian River Fruit. Okay, never mind. It's only $50.
Never mind. No, you're good. It's fine. I just can't wait to take a jet ski to international waters and just be like, "Woo! I got my own private casino out here." Just a deck of cards and whatever spare change I fit in my Speedo.
And the
this is living.
Big Pimpin' starts playing off a Walkman.
Just me, God, and my jet ski.
This terrifying manta ray that's been following me.
Waterworld was a how-to.
This is awesome. It's a one-man booze cruise. Some people just pay for these. I just drive out until it's free.
It's my own high school reunion. Just me. I look great.
Now that it didn't happen, is it safe to reveal that my 20th high school reunion was supposed to be at a Shoney's? I know that y'all can verify this because I showed you the invitation.
Damn.
You should have gone and told everybody you're a jet ski cop now.
Shit.
Jason,
next year.
Jason, you know what you're going to need to have your own one-man jet ski casino?
Besides a jet ski?
You're going to need money. You need some startup funds.
Oh shit, Spencer, that was smooth.
You know,
nice job. Yeah, I thought we were gonna end up sneaking this back in, recording it afterward, and sneaking it back in. But that is an incredible save by Spencer. Yeah. That's right. Jet ski police academy dropouts. You're gonna need a fallback, right? You need a financial fallback while you save up to apply. There's a $25 fee each time you apply to be a jet ski cop. And yeah, you're gonna need to save it up. Acorns is the country's leading saving and investing app. Those who have been following along have been riveted as I have increased my pile from $5 to $75.96. I can afford 3 admissions to Jet Ski Police Academy. It's very easy.
It's
very simple.
Jet Scademy, just so you know. Jet Scademy.
That's a competing. So I think it's you know, oh, yeah, it sounds very official.
That's the fire department. I apologize.
Well, it sounds very official, police academy, but like, you know, they're competing against each other. There's multiple ones like right next door to each other.
Sure.
It's like the vision of like there should be private private prisons and private judges and private, you know, police forces. That's actually how it works on the ocean.
Why do the jet ski cops also rent bikes and sell taffy?
Is it bad that I got like an aspirational "this could be me" pang right when you said that?
No.
Looking into the market performance section of my Acorns, and it says the line's going up still. That's all we need to know. Market gain loss plus 0.90%. It's almost the whole percent that I've made off the magic of the market, and that's without doing any daily gamey check-ins and whatever. It just goes in, and then it goes up. Acorns.com/fullcast. It goes in, and it goes up.
It's like being Ohio State.
it's an Ohio State in your pocket.
Because either way, you're talking about the Bucks.
That's right.
Slam.
Catching it off the glass.
Also, Acorn is similar to a bucknut.
It's a bucknut, yeah. That's fair.
Is a bucknut an acorn?
Nope, but... that's not going to stop us.
Both of them become more than they were. Wow. The acorn becomes the tree. The acorn app in your pocket becomes your retirement account if you really go hard
after
on it.
20 years on the jet ski force, after, you're finally after you ready time, to hang it up.
After you do your time, retire with honors, with badges and medals clanking around as you bounce along the waves. Medals on your life preserver. Yeah, it's all about tiny things becoming and the Ohio State, the Bucknut, right? Every year just becomes a playoff bid. How'd that happen?
21 Super Soaker salute.
Listen, man, you'll have enough money that you can be as weird as a dude that I read about this week, Bill Gross, the billionaire investor, who is now in a fight with his neighbor, who is a some sort of tech geek genius, mere semi-billionaire. You can have enough money because these two guys are fighting, and I love rich people fighting. According to his neighbor, billionaire bond investor Bill Gross really likes the Gilligan's Island theme song, and this is apparently driving his neighbor mad because he says that he plays it at all hours. And when contacted for comment about this, Bill Gross said, "Yeah, it has a lot of meaning to me, so I play it all the time, because I found out that it looked, the place where my house is, looks like Gilligan's Island." And that's why he says it's completely justified that he plays it like 20 hours a day, and he and his lady dance to it.
Yeah.
This moment of Pac-12 football has been brought to you as a special shout out to friend of the program, Warren Abels, who is currently under the weather right now. Warren, we love you, buddy. We hope you feel better soon. Yes, this guy should be the commissioner of the Pac-12.
By the way, I'm on Bill Gross's side because also on the playlist.
Classic Spencer, siding with the billionaire.
Is on 50, also on his playlist, 50 Cent and Kenny Loggins, who played at his birthday.
That just says
wait, which one? Both Schwartz. Of them together?
They played each other's birthdays.
They did, yeah. 50 Cent and Kenny Loggins. They're going to drop that mixtape any day now.
That's what would you rather have at your birthday? 50 Cent playing Kenny Loggins songs or Kenny Loggins performing 50 Cent songs?
I'm gonna flip the script because I bet you think I'd say Kenny Loggins doing 50 Cent. I want to hear 50 Cent doing Kenny Loggins songs.
Can 50 sing?
About to find out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, not yet. Not like actual yeah, but okay. he has melodically spoken. Let's put it that way.
All right.
Him auto-tune singing the theme from Over the Top? Yeah. I want to hear that.
Sure.
Cool.
House, Kenny Loggins' House on Pooh Corner?
Oh, yeah. I want to hear him do it, you know. Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with my money. See, it was a hip-hop song.
But going to become that kind of eccentric billionaire, I need someone out there to be my opponent. You can visit acorns.com/fullcast to get started with $5 on the house. And you can come get me, sucker.
Find him on the ocean. On the ocean.
Can't miss it. I'll be there.
It'd be so much better if
Gary Barta just like started taking questions and then zoomed off on a jet ski instead.
Gary Boda.
Gary Boda.
I'll allow it.